two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. We are live at J&J Garden Center for the Mother's Day sale. Ton, Maria, and Andy with you, taking your calls and questions this morning. Let's go out to George in Ogden. And good morning, George. How can we help you this morning?
Yes, how you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
I was calling about, I bought a house and a backyard this spring when the snow melted. Grass came up and it was real pretty green. Then about 3 weeks later, it started turning brown. So I don't know if it's grass or weeds or what it is.
Well, there could be several things. So it was green when the snow melted off.
Yes, it came up and it was real pretty green.
Okay, that would exclude snow mold as being the reason. There are sometimes sod webworms can cause a lot of spring damage very quickly. That would be one to check for. Have you seen any moths or anything in the lawn?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen any moths.
Is there anything, if it's a newer home, do you know if there's anything buried in the soil
Where the grass died?
It's older.
No, it's older.
Okay, is there an old septic tank or anything there underneath where the grass died?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know.
The reason I'm having some struggles here is you basically said, if you went to the doctor and told the doctor, I have a headache, why? You know, there's so many things that could be going on. And things to check for, actually snow mold, I have seen a lot of lawns that have been damaged by snow mold this year. And I don't think it would do that after the snow melted off, but there is a potential that it could. But what you're going to need to do is collect a sample and send it to the Utah State University Pest Lab in Logan. And let them go through it and get a microscope and see if they can find anything on the roots or anything. So the website to do would be to go to Utah Pests. So just one word in plural, utahpests.usu.edu, and just do the sample submission.
What was that last dot what?
Utahpests.usu.edu.
EDU or education. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And I'll find out whether to send that from that website, the test lab.
Yeah, so the pest lab, and you'll download the submission form, and you'll be the postage. And I think they charge anywhere from $10 to $20, depending on what you want done.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. That's what I need to know to find out what this is.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You bet. Next listener says they removed a peach tree, died from gummiasis.
Gummosis.
Right? Gummosis?
That's just a general condition saying you had sap all over.
Okay. They wanted to plant another peach in that location. Will it jeopardize the new tree?
Well, it may or may not. If they plant a new one in the exact spot, there is a condition called replant disease that you get a buildup of diseases and pests. Even if they could move it over 3 or 4 feet, that would be much better.
Okay. Next person wants to know, they had little small white bugs in their raspberries last year. What do you recommend to get rid of those?
If they're on the actual raspberries, they're probably going to need to stick with a horticultural soap just because you don't want to be spraying those raspberries with something and then eating them 2 days later. So a horticultural soap has a 1 or 2 day, what's called the harvest interval from the time you spray. And some of them are actually the same day. You would wash them, make sure they're dry, and then you could eat them.
Okay. A next person says their Wine and Roses Wigalia is not leafing out. How long do they wait until they yank it?
Well, if it doesn't leaf out in the next couple of weeks, I would go ahead and pull it out.
I guess this is one that they transplanted last fall.
Yeah, Wine and Roses, those should be, they're in the honeysuckle family, so they're a spring bloomer. And if they're not leafing out and forming flower buds, I don't have a lot of hope for it.
Next person, we've had this question over the last few weeks, people concerned that we are planting lawn in our park strips. And this person wants to know, who do we talk to work with the community, kind of the community informing people about what to plant in their park strips and working to
local scapes is...
So who do they talk to?
The Jordan Valley Conservancy District, and through their conservation garden park, has a free program called Local Scapes, and they have information on how to replace your park strip, what plants you could put in, and just it's a system that gives you such good recommendations on landscaping, because if you saw a local scaped yard as compared to a traditional, you wouldn't really notice much difference. But the local scaped yard uses anywhere from 30 to 60% less water for a beautiful landscape.
Yeah, I think this person's more concerned about working with local governments to help, you know, promote
regulations. We are still seeing a lot of code enforcement forcing people to put turf in park strips and things.
Right, that's what they're talking
about.
And
so they would need to talk to their city council, the planning commission, and the city council is the entity with a mayor that can change the code enforcement.
All right. The next, let's go to our next caller, Karen and Sandy. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. I'd like to talk to the fellow from J&J about geraniums.
Okay.
I shy away from, I don't know what it is when I buy them. They have like maybe they'll have a couple blooms. After that, I never hardly, if I get one more bloom, I'm lucky. I don't know, and especially when you buy things in the pots, do we have to fertilize them a really lot, because they don't do well after I get them?
Probably the question I'd ask is, what kind of location? Are you planting them more sun, shade, half and half?
One is directly sun on the west side, and the other one, they all get sun because I face east and west. They get the morning sun, the afternoon sun. I just don't have luck with geraniums.
Okay,
they need a lot of fertilizer.
Well, there's two tricks to them. When those blossoms, the ones, the original blossoms, when they die, you need to go out and deadhead those.
I do that.
When you deadhead those, what that does is it'll send the nutrients to the new flowers to perform better. And as far as fertilizing, they're an average. You don't want to over-fertilize them, because if you do, you'll get a whole lot of plant. Plant will look gorgeous, but sometimes you won't get a lot of bloom. So what I recommend is, you know, you can go in with either a slow release, like an Osmocote or something, and put on those. But probably my favorite is try doing a liquid feed fertilizer program like Miracle-Gro or something.
Yeah, that's what I do, is the Miracle-Gro. Okay. But when we buy these pots, are they fertilized really heavily? Because they just go downhill.
We probably fertilize ours with a liquid feed probably once a week. But
once
it's a low
week.
Dose. It's a calcium kind of base fertilizer, so we don't get a lot of growth on them, but they keep that nice color to them.
Andy, would the root volume, the volume of the soil, have anything to do with it?
It could. Make sure you're prepping your beds with, you know, if you haven't put any type of an organic matter or anything in those flower beds, sometimes the existing soil will just run out of gas.
Okay, but Karen, you're talking mainly about pots, right? Are you changing
the
soil in
your pots?
Well, I'm
talking about both, because I live in sandy, and I have really sandy soil. I mean, it's like a sandbox, and I know that stuff just goes right through, so I
you
try
know
to
one thing-
fertilize.
For your beds, I would use triple 16, because their sandy soils are often deficient in phosphorus and potassium.
Oh, good.
So do a general fertilization with triple 16, and then in your pots, are you changing the soil every year?
No, about every other year, but I add some compost to them. I add that. When you advertise a lot, I'd add that to it.
Probably the best thing to do is change that soil out. Take it, go throw it out in the garden, throw it out in the flower beds, till it in so you're using it. And then I would start with a fresh batch of soil every year.
Okay, you've given me some good ideas. One real quick question. Is Glacier a good tomato? I live clear out in Sandy, but I came clear out to your place yesterday to get some Glacier tomatoes. Are they pretty good tomatoes?
Glacier is a nice one because I believe it sets when the temperatures are cooler.
That's one of Bad Bart's favorite tomatoes is Glacier.
Hmm.
Uh-huh. And that's one of his early season ones that he always grows along with another one called Long Keeper.
Okay. Well, I love coming out there all the way to your place. Oh, my gosh.
Well, thank
I
you.
Know.
For,
it's pretty fun out here, isn't
thank
it,
you
Kurt?
For coming out and seeing us and taking that drive.
Your roses are, oh, my gosh, and they're priced really reasonable, too. I just okay, thank you so much.
All right.
I'll do everything
thanks.
You say.
All right. Thanks for your call today. And we are at J&J Garden Center, where the Mother's Day sale is underway. And I don't think you'd get a better endorsement than that.
I don't think so.
And you have beautiful roses. Talk about your roses.
We do. Well. We just got them in. They unloaded the semis this week. We had two full semi loads of these things that come in. They're gorgeous. They're blooming. They look nice and healthy. They're just good stock plants that we've got in. They're gorgeous. And what the weather is just perfect. A little bit of overcast, you know, but
perfect
the temperatures
for planting,
are warm.
Right?
It's great to get out in the yard.
Tanya, we started the show at 8 o'clock with roses because you wanted to focus on that. It's such a popular item to buy. Tell the folks about your favorites for Mother's Day.
Well, for Mother's Day, the ones I really like are, for hybrid teas, Mr. Lincoln, Chrysler Imperial, Rio Samba, and Double Delight. Double Delight is one of my favorite because not only is it a very pretty flower and free blooming, but it's very fragrant. And that's where it gets its name, is from the beautiful blossoms and the fragrance. And then as far as shrub roses, I really like the Knockout series roses because they don't get too big. You can just hedge them a little bit, and they bloom like mad the entire season.
Right, and you can find out much more about Ton's favorites on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. We put up an article that was up before 8 o'clock this morning. People, they've come in to buy their Mother's Day presents, but they're walking out with a lot more than that because you have such great prices on bedding plants and perennials.
We do. So, you know, the nice thing that we have is where we kind of grow a lot of our own stuff here. We can keep those price points reasonable. Yeah, we do buy off other suppliers as well, but a lot of these bedding plants are being grown from seed and our vegetables and
grown for Utah.
Exactly. And they're just good varieties. You know, we've been in this business a long time and we've just, you know, over the years you find what works and what doesn't work as far as different varieties of flowers. And those are the ones we grow. And that,
right.
You know, and the goal is that as a customer, you come in, you get this stuff. And my hope is that at the end of the day, it puts a smile on your face, you know, to have this stuff, to be working in the yard. You grow a tomato, you get a tomato here in a few months. That's the joy. You know, people ask me, what do you enjoy about your job? It's really, it's that I hope that people are just finding joy and happiness, and especially in the way the world is right now.
Yeah, we hope that you'll come out and see us at J&J Garden Center. 20% off 4-inch geraniums today and your beautiful hanging pots for moms.
Yep, all 20% off.
All right, and they're open until 8 o'clock tonight. We're going to take a break, come back with more of your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria, Ton, and Andy with you this morning, taking your questions. Mother's Day sale underway here at J&J Garden Center. Let's get back to our texters and callers this morning. Next person would like to know, Ton, how they want to treat a square foot area of dead yellow grass. They want it to grow again, and they want to know what you would do if you just had a small portion of lawn that just wasn't doing well.
Well, if it's just a square foot and it doesn't grow there, that probably indicates there's something in the soil. And so I would probably dig the area out about 6 inches to a foot deep and replace the soil and then put new grass over the top.
Okay. Let's go back to our phone lines. And we have Dallas on the line waiting very patiently. Good morning, Dallas. How can we help you today?
Yeah. Hey, you guys. I'm back here in the Midwest, excuse me, for a couple of months, and I finally passed due, and I was I had to laugh when I heard that wise guy Bart call in about
that
the covering.
Bart?
Yeah, I was at okay, that certainly applies. Well, I have the same story. Well, but thanks to you guys, I know now. A couple of weeks ago, we had forecast 28-degree temperatures overnight, and I had a couple of little 5-foot catalpa trees that I hadn't seen in 2 years. I'm like, well, I'm going to protect them guys. I'm not going to watch them get frosted and retarded and not enjoy them. So I went to the drawer and got the big garbage bags and covered each of them. They're about 5 feet apart.
Right.
And I left the garbage bags on for the next night, too, because it was equally chilly. And I thought, oh, well, you know, leaving the bag on during the daytime, they'll get residual heat, and I'll come out ahead on this. Well, no. On the third day, I uncovered the trees, and there they were all, like, just freeze-dried. Every single bud had been frosted under that those heavy plastic bags. And I'm just like, well, the forecasters must have got it wrong, and it got colder, and that's why they froze under the bags. Never did I imagine that what that Bart guy said was only true. And, Tom, why the heck is that? How can that
I
be?
I suspect that the plastic isn't a very good insulator, and when you get dew on that plastic and it freezes, anything
it
touching
worse.
The plastic Aww. Would, because the release of energy when it freezes, anything touching the plastic would also freeze, to where if you had something more insulating, you know, such as a blanket or even a thicker tarp, it wouldn't be much better. But anything more insulating that has a fabric would be better.
Oh, and that first night, right before the temperature dropped, it got a good shellacking with sleet and other moisture
Yeah, so
stuff,
if that so. Froze, anything near the surface or touching the surface of the plastic. Now, people overwinter things all the time in cold frames and low tunnels with plastic, but the plants aren't generally touching the plastic.
Oh, yeah, and these, you know, and with the wind here and stuff, the plastic just wrapped around the trees really well and stayed on there. That's why I'm like, oh, I'm so ahead of the game. I can't, you know, thinking I'm clever. And boy, what a surprise. So
sorry to
hear
that.
They're going
to
be okay. They're coming back. But thank goodness for your show. Thanks, you guys.
All right. Thanks so much for listening. Next person has an, bye-bye, has an apple tree, but in the last 5 years, they've only had about a couple of apples. They rarely have more than 3 blossoms. It never gets better. What should they do with this tree? Buy a new one?
Not necessarily.
What's
if it's starting to get blossoms, it may start to form more. There's a lot of things that can prevent a fruit tree from not blossoming, including improper pruning, nutrient deficiencies, too much shade. So those all need to be checked off, and they should only be pruning that tree, at least major pruning, in late winter.
Mm-hmm.
But apple trees just sometimes take a long time to start to form blossoms. And if they're starting to get a few, I would give it another couple of years and see if it comes into bearing.
So how long should you expect an apple tree to take?
Usually within 3 or 4 years, but every 1 in 10, sometimes
take
it's 10
longer?
Years.
Ten years?
Yeah, they don't want to wait that long. So some of the most, like the best cooking apples, if you talk to gourmet cooks, are Northern Spy and Prairie Spy for desserts and things. Nobody grows them because it takes 15 years for them to ever produce a blossom.
Wow.
So it's really common in apples, but usually your rootstocks will offset it. But every once in a while, you just find one that takes a long time.
Next a question from a listener. They want to know, will grass beater or grass be gone kill grass and rhizomes in the flower bed? They have, like, bluegrass and quackgrass.
It doesn't do a very good job against bluegrass. The Kentucky bluegrass isn't on label. They could try the quackgrass and see if it went against that. But Kentucky bluegrass, for a lot of our grass killers, actually isn't on label, and it takes several applications to get it.
Right. So they're having problems because it's coming up amidst the hibiscus from their neighbor's yard, and they're trying to figure out the best way to treat it.
You know, if they could cover the hibiscus and then use some Roundup in there. But if it's quackgrass, the only thing you can do is a barrier 18 inches deep that's solid plastic or corrugated metal or something to keep it from creeping in from the neighbor's yard.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Next person says they would like to put rocks in their front flower beds. They face west and they have roses planted in those flower beds. Will it get too hot for those plants if they put rocks in there?
No, they'll be fine.
Let's see if we have more callers. I have to switch screens here. Let's see.
Oh, nope.
No callers right now. Okay. Next person wants to know about golden raspberries. Is there particular care that they need to give them? Is full sun good for them, or do they need some shade in the afternoon?
They're probably going to need shade. What the percentage, the shade cloth you'd use, the grade is 30% shade. And you would put that over using hoops or trellising over the berries, especially on the south side, and that would get them through. But the golden berries have a tendency to scald in our hot sun and low humidity.
Right. So a lot of people are starting to worry about their lawns, lawn care. So let's do some lawn care basics here. First of all, we're at J&J Garden Center. Andy, you have a whole program for lawn care.
You know, we got a five-step program for the fertilizer that you put on different times throughout the season. You know, you first start off that pre-emergent and then go into some of the other varieties and then put the pre-emergent on again. And there's some product called Speed Zone that you can spray for the broadleaf weeds and stuff in the lawn. But there's other products, too, that are out there, especially we're probably, you know, we don't have, even though we had that nice rainstorm the other day, they are talking some drought restrictions and water restrictions for us. So probably want to go ahead and make sure you get some other products put down, some organic matters if you can. There's different products out there. We have one of our own. There's some other product that we have here. It's called Back to Green. It's kind of like Revive. So you want to make sure that you're doing some of these other things if you want to keep your lawn growing nice. And the other thing is, too, Ton, and you can probably talk more to this, probably what's the best advice as far as watering?
You know, less often and more deeply is going to be the best advice. You know, during May, you probably will only need to water once a week at the most, and you want to drive that water 6 inches to a foot deep. Once we get hot in late June, July, August, 2 to 3 times a week, driving water 6 inches deep into the soil.
Right. That rainstorm, though, just brought on the weeds, not just in my flower beds, but also in the lawn. So what's our best bet at stopping those weeds?
Well, Andy mentioned earlier some products that you could use to get the weeds out, and then I think that's going to be important if you have tons of weeds in your lawn, but they also need to look at why that lawn isn't thriving. You know, everybody's going to get a few weeds, but if they're everywhere, there's usually management problems. They're cutting too short, watering too often or not enough, or the sprinkling system isn't adjusted correctly, so it's missing spots. And so anywhere you have lots of weeds coming up in a lawn is a sign that there's a management issue that needs to be remedied.
I've seen a lot of people aerating.
Yes, and it's a great time to do spring and fall in a clay soil. My yard has really heavy clay, and I aerate every spring and sometimes in the fall in an attempt to keep that soil more loose so that the roots can penetrate in a little better and be healthier.
Right. We have just about a minute left. I want people to know of all the specials you have for Mother's Day here at J&J Garden Center.
Yep. So right now, and it will last from now until next Saturday, all the 4.5-inch seed geraniums and all the 12-inch hanging blooming baskets in all varieties and same thing in colors are all 20% off right now. Our regular price on bedding plant flats, six-pack pony price is $19.98 for 36 plants. And then in our home decor, we have wind spinners and bird bass at 20% off as well.
Just a lot of great deals, and I just love the vines. I keep watching the mandevilla and the bougainvillea going by, and just such fun gifts for Mom.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff. If you can't find something for Mom here, I'm not sure what we can do.
That's right. Well, we're just about out of time. I want people to know that Ton put on the Facebook page a great article about roses. And so if you need some ideas on what kinds of rose bushes to buy for Mom, you can find that on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page. And you can also find some great ideas for putting together your spring garden planters. So have a great week, and thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. And we'll be back next Saturday, 8 to 11.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.